Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Holistic Children Radio, and I'm your host, Kathy Curran, coming to you from Los Angeles, California. The mission of Holistic Children Radio is to help educate parents and those who work with children and families, providing alternative methods to assist you through life's many changes. And today it's my pleasure to have Charlotte Resnick, PhD, who is an internationally recognized child educational psychologist, an associate clinical professor of psychology at UCLA, and a compelling speaker and media personality who has inspired parents, professionals, educators, and psychologists throughout the world with her original therapeutic approach to helping children and adolescents heal themselves. She is the author of The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success. Dr. Resnick is a dynamic speaker. She is passionate about teaching adults how to use imagery to help kids tap into their own tremendous inner resources and develop emotional skills necessary for a happy, successful life. Dr. Resnick has been a guest on NPR, NBC News, and Lifetime, and has been quoted and featured in a wide variety of print and online publications, including USA Today, Nick Jr., MSNBC.com, and Forbes.com. And it is a great pleasure, Dr. Resnick, to have you with us today. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, Kathy, I'm thrilled to be talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you. I just really devoured The Power of Your Child's Imagination. It has so much great information. And this is one of those books. When my kids were younger, I had a couple of books on my shelf that I would go to periodically and use as a resource. And I think that this is a staple for every parent out there because you have so many great examples in there. And how did you come up with this type of work, working with imagery?
You know, I was really inspired many, many years ago. It was actually in the early 80s, if you could believe that. And I was just working in the inner city as a psychologist in the school system, and the kids were really, really having a hard time and were depressed and lonely, and just regular traditional ways of working with kids weren't working. And I felt I needed to really touch their heart in a way that could move them. And I was exposed to the idea of using children's imagination at a conference where people in another district were doing a research experiment, actually, going into the classroom and using imagery techniques with kids. And I was so impressed with what they found that I just started to research everything I could and study with whoever was out there that I could and start using it with the kids and adapting it to them. So over the years, I've kind of developed my own little system that the kids have basically taught me work for them, and it's really made a difference.
It's a great system, and as I mentioned earlier, in our conversation, it has so much experience included in it and so many different examples of children that you worked with, and I understand it's taken you, you said, like 20 years of work is compiled in this. But something really specific that stood out to me, in the introduction, you say so much adult suffering begins in childhood, and that more kids are acting out or simply shutting down. What do you think is happening here?
I think there's so much going on in the world today, more and more. There's so much information coming in. There's so many stresses. We're expecting so much. It just starts to pile up. And my goal in working with kids is really to make a difference early on in their lives. And I do believe any point in your life is a good time to get help and find peace. But if I could help the children, if we could help the children, it'll make a total difference in the world because the world will basically be transformed because our kids will learn the resources to find peace and happiness and learn how to cope with the challenges today.
And this is what I found, you know, really interesting about what you're saying in The Power of Your Child's Imagination is that children even as young as four years old, have the ability to check inside and really have the resources to come up with some answers for their problems.
Yes, especially if you make it in the playful, if you do it playfully, then it makes it fun. I had a little boy who was 3, and I don't usually see kids that young, but he was a bit stressed out at preschool. And when I was teaching him one of the tools, which is basically checking in with your belly, your gut feelings, kind of developing his own intuition, I asked him what his belly wanted to tell him that day. And he closes his eyes and he does this balloon breath, which calms him down, and his belly tells him to share. Now, that was sweet because even though maybe his mom and his teacher might have said that to him, gosh, it was now coming from him. He had integrated it, and that was the message coming from inside. So many of the times you'll hear your kids say things that maybe you've said to them, but it takes on a whole new meaning when they really believe it, when they really have gotten it.
When they're able to feel empowered with that. Because, you know, I've heard there's a saying, it says those who tell the stories define the culture. And what you're saying is that on an individual level, that these kids can essentially tell themselves a story and be empowered by it.
Yeah.
And that just right there, if a parent can give a child just that one lesson, what a tremendous, you know, a tool they're giving their child. Now,
track me down years later, and I do this image, and I recently did a kind of a CD with it about climbing a mountain of success, and the mountain is like life, a metaphor for life, and you have the tools to reach your goals. And this girl said she was also in a very poor area. She came to me when she was in high school. I had met her in elementary school, and she's the student body president. And she said, you know, whenever I'm in front of the students at the auditorium, I think of that image of me on the top of the mountain, and it gives me support. So
wow.
Images can be so powerful. We know that when our kids watch, you know, scary TV and they have nightmares for days. But images really could stick in your mind. So her own image of seeing her successful on top of a mountain really sustained her.
It reminds me, that particular example reminds me of what you said or shared about a little boy named Elijah who related Legos. He said, I'm the pieces, and when I put myself together, I get stronger.
Oh, I get the chills on that.
Yes, because kids can get this, and I think that's what's really important for parents to understand, that they can. Because one, don't you believe that their imaginations are so powerful? And if we can encourage that, like I said, they carry that through life. One of the things I think I wish I would have learned really young was that life is challenging. It is difficult. We do have to deal with adversities, and we need some tools.
Yes, and the idea is, teach the kids to go inside. The first step is calming yourself using what I call the balloon breath because it's an easy visual. You imagine a balloon kind of in your belly, below your belly button, about 2 to 3 inches. So when you breathe in, the balloon gets larger. And then when you breathe out, it gets smaller. And it's a different kind of way that we wind up breathing, because if you tell a child to breathe in, or an adult for that matter, you might suck in your stomach. Well, that's not a relaxing breath. So you want to breathe in slowly. Have your belly go out and breathe out slowly. And the reason you want to do that is because that centers and calms you so that you could respond rather than react to a situation. And it also helps you go in, it sets the stage for going inside and checking with your own intuition. And that's what we're teaching kids, to trust their own intuition.
And one of the things that you do is you help children find through their imagination maybe an animal, which you say represents the instinct over logic. Share a little bit about that with us.
Well, the idea is that, you know, if you ask a child, why'd you do that? Or they might say, I don't know. But if you say, maybe we could imagine an animal friend that can come and help you, like a little girl who was having trouble sleeping, and she imagined a beautiful unicorn coming to her and bringing her a gift, which is another imagination tool I use, a gift of kind of a sleeping potion to sprinkle it on herself and say falling asleep as she falls asleep. And you mentioned that it bypasses your kind of defense system and your logic, and it just comes either from your unconscious or comes from another part that has that wisdom. And it made so much sense to this girl that it really helped her sleep, or another boy who had this terrible fear at night of being alone. He was afraid somebody was going to, you know, break into the house. So he imagined this giant white dragon wrapped around his bed, protecting him, and a tiger at the door. So he felt safe. And he knew that even though the fear, these imaginary things weren't real, because, oh, it's just your imagination, but he said that fear comes from that imaginary realm, because he knew he had an alarm system on the house, so it wasn't coming from the logical mind. So he needed to go into that imagination realm to get the information to help himself.
Yeah, and the power in that is, I think, one is parents, you know, when kids tell these stories, sometimes they sound a little bit, you know, out there, or maybe, you know, an initial response would be to say, oh, you're not seeing that, or you're not hearing it. But in their mind, it does have validity. It is real.
Sure. And the animal friend is a symbol. It's a symbol of a, like a protector, someone, a loving animal that has your best interests at heart. And so when kids have, even these imaginary friends are not just for little kids, they're for everyone. I mean, in shamanistic thought, over centuries, they use power animals to help them. So you could tap into the same kind of thought. And I've seen over and over again how animal friends really help the kids solve any problems. One girl was very angry, and she actually had an animal friend in her knee. It was a red bull. And he was causing a lot of havoc when she was trying to say how she felt, because he was coming out very angry. So, you know, she got another, you know, like the brother of the red bull came to help her and gave her a filter to put in her neck so that when she spoke up, the red bull wasn't so mean.
Ah.
She'll say how she felt.
Interesting.
And it's very interesting. Some kids, when they're afraid, they'll have these very powerful animal friends, like a boy. He was afraid of he was getting some medical tests at the hospital, so he imagined a pride of lions surrounding his bed to protect him. Whereas other kids, when they're afraid, they imagine like a scared rabbit, because the scared rabbit knows what they're going through.
Yeah.
Now,
well,
one little,
go ahead.
One girl was getting nauseous because she felt so uncomfortable and she was so shy. So a scared rabbit came and gave her a little gift to help her be brave.
Oh, how great. That, you know, it's another thing that I find really fascinating is you talk about, you know, this concept of having fear over going to the doctor, or maybe having a stomach ache or headache. You talk about working with a parent, working with their energy, and you work with your own heart energy. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's not like a strange concept. Energy is all around us. It's how we feel. I'm from New York, so if I walk down the street and I don't feel right, something feels wrong, I just walk the other way, because I don't wait to see if there's a robber down the street or anything.
Yeah.
Good point. And science tells us that things we feel are solid, like the table, for example, right in front of me, or your chair you're sitting on, they're really very densely packed molecules. So everything is sort of connected, because it's not really solid, even though I really believe it's solid. It's all these molecules densely packed together, which is, of course, hard for the mind to comprehend. And the idea that we're all connected, and you could do a really easy exercise to show what I mean. Like, for example, if you rub your hands together, your palms of your hands together very quickly for about 30 seconds, and then you slowly let it go, you can almost feel something there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the idea of the energy that's around us. And you know, if you're around someone that's very loving and kind to you, you feel better. They don't have to say anything, but their feelings from their heart are coming to you. So I'll often have a parent imagine all the love he or she feels for her child in her heart or his heart, and then imagine it swirling and coming down through his hands, through your hands. And then when you're hugging your child or patting them, you know, at night to go to bed, just send that love to them. And you could send it with your thought. You could send it with your eyes. We've done experiments in audiences where someone's standing up in front of the room and everyone in the audience just stares at them blankly and nothing happens. But when they stare at them with love and they're imagining sending love to them, that person really receives it and feels different.
Wow.
And there's new research that's just finding out about the power of intention and the power of healing. There was, it's very interesting, you know, these big MRI scanners that are very expensive and fancy. Well, they had different healers, different types of healers, not just one kind, you know, Eastern, Western. And then they would put a patient, you know, a theoretical patient, you know, a person, in this MRI scanner. And when the healer was thinking about sending healing thoughts or loving thoughts, the patient did not know when it was coming, there were still changes in their brain scans. There were still changes in the activity in their brain.
From the energy of the people. Okay, this is something that's really, I hope that our listeners can hear in a deeper level, because as you mentioned earlier, Dr. Esnick, we can walk in a room and we can sense that, most of us can sense, oftentimes the mood of the people.
Right, exactly. It's just like that.
Around us. So imagine a child who isn't really able to, and a younger child who's not able to use the word or to communicate, they're very sensitive to energy, aren't they?
Yes, and they pick up on how you're feeling. You don't have to say anything. If you say, oh, everything's okay, but you're not feeling like everything's okay, they will pick up on your feelings. So it's important to be true. I mean, you don't need to tell your child all your problems and issues, but to be honest, like, mom's having a hard day or dad had a hard day today, and it'll get better, but right now you're right. I'm not feeling so good. I'm a little bit off.
Okay.
So then the child feels, okay, what I'm feeling is true. Because if you say to your child, no, everything's fine, and they're feeling, no, it's not fine, it's confusing to them, then they don't trust themselves. Then they second-guess themselves.
Thank you. And one of the things that I felt came through in what you're writing is telling us is that it's really important that we're able to feel what we're feeling in real time. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you're referring to when you
said
it.
Just in the sense of when we're, let's say parents are going through a divorce or there's a death. Oftentimes, you know, we as adults don't always know how to deal with what we've been handed. But yet, if we stuff those feelings and we go on and we say, you know, oh, it's okay, it's going to show up later. So when I read what you have to share, I think how incredible if we can share these things with our children and allow them, as hard as it is, because it is hard, I think, for parents to hear what a child is feeling. Sometimes it's hurtful, but if they can see it objectively, can you maybe provide some insight on how a parent right now, maybe they've had a job loss and they're stressed out, how can they, you know, going through this, help their children deal with those effects and deal with their feelings?
That's such an important concept that you're bringing up, because it's the crux of life in a sense.
Mm.
You know, actually being in the moment. Now, sometimes you have to work or you have to get through the day and you can't be emotional all over the place, but to stuff your feelings is not healthy. That's how we get sick. Because your feelings affect your body. Stress has been, there's tremendous amount of research showing how stress actually makes us sick from all the chemicals that are secreted and how that affects our cells. So I will have the people, like if you do your balloon breath and you just take a moment, see where your feelings are, what's going on. Like just tune inside. Imagine your body is just showing up with all these different colors or feelings. Like where do you keep your stress? Okay, one boy had this anger in his gut, black. Okay, where do you keep your calm feelings? They were blue, so he breathed in his calm feelings to his stress. Kind of covered it over. But then we looked at his love in his heart, which is white. When he breathed in the love into his stress, it should have burst, and the stress kind of dissipated. So he was able to transform that difficult feeling just with breathing and with color. And sometimes you want to have a conversation because your stress, say, turns into a headache, or you just want to you know, when it turns into something physical, then it goes beyond to the next step. So you ask, what do I need to be aware of to let go of this pain? And it could be physical pain or it could be emotional pain. And see what your body is telling you. Now, if you've never done this, it might seem a little bit weird. But that's okay. It could be silly. It could be weird. But try just tuning in. Try just breathing for a few moments and then checking in and seeing where you keep your feelings and what maybe they have a face. Maybe they have, like that girl whose anger was a red bull. Maybe they have a color. And then you start to start that conversation with yourself. So you start to understand how you're really feeling and what you can do about it, how you could transform. One girl was very afraid of trying out for a basketball team that she really wanted to be on. And so her fear was permeating and she couldn't think of going. So we looked at where her confidence and her bravery was. And so she filled her body up with confidence and bravery at green, I think it was. And that helped her move forward. So there's always an answer. There's always a way you can help yourself. All you have to do is just be a little creative, and that's what these 9 kind of imagination tools do. They give like you a little toolbox so you could pick and choose from them.
And the beauty of all of this is that as parents work with their children on it, they're learning these coping mechanisms themselves, which is really needed. In a lot of cases, because
and you notice there's a chapter grown-ups need tools too or something,
yeah.
and to look at this to help yourself. And when I speak, I'm speaking to audiences with adults, with parents, with other professionals that work with kids, and I always take people through guided journeys for themselves inside, and the results are just amazing. I was speaking the other night, and one mom was in touch with her dad who had died, who had crossed over, and she imagined him being with her. And it just helped her connect with him and feel better ultimately because she had missed him so much.
And this goes back to what you mentioned in your introduction is so much of adult suffering begins in childhood, and there's that child inside of each and every one of us. And with that said, you have an extremely busy schedule, and I'm very grateful to you for spending this time with us to share all this great information. I feel like we could go on for hours, but we have a little bit of time left. And in that time, I want to be sure that you can let people know what you're up to. I would suggest that everyone goes to imageryforkids.com to see your schedule, but share a little bit about where you're going to be and places that might be able to
be delighted to. For people in the Los Angeles area, on Thursday, February 25th at 7:30, I'll be speaking at Village Books in Pacific Palisades, so it'll be a chance to meet in person and ask any questions you like, and pick up a copy of The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success. And then in March, 2 weekends in March, the beginning and toward the end, I'll be on the East Coast in Baltimore and in D.C. speaking at some conferences. And I'm very willing. I love to travel, so wherever you are, I'm happy to come and speak to a group. And also, I want to really invite you definitely to come to my website because there's lots of information, and I have these, if I say so for myself, wonderful relaxation CDs, therapeutic CDs, both connected to the book and not connected to the book.
I'm glad you brought that up. Tell us a little bit more about that.
And there are audio samples. And because my dream, my hope is to reach many children so all your kids could receive the tools. And sometimes kids love listening to discovering their special place before they're going to sleep, or one of the CDs, Creating a Magical Garden and Healing Pond, that was used in a study with teenagers even, and it's really for all ages, that had spinal surgery, and the kids that listened had less pain than the kids that didn't listen. So that was a wonderful finding. And, of course, that Climbing a Mountain of Success CD is there. And then all of the imageries in the book, all the guided journeys, I also put into some CDs. So, so if you don't feel comfortable reading them or making your own little CDs at home, you have my voice with music in the background. And then, of course, I blog for Psychology Today, so you can always see what's happening there. And, oh, of course, if you come to the website, sign up for the free newsletter, you'll get the top 10 things kids need and want from their parents immediately.
Oh, great.
You sign up. I almost forgot that. That'll be lots of fun to receive.
Great. And I just want to say again that you know, the power of your child's imagination is, you know, parents are busy, but this is a great book to pull out. You talk about, you have different sections on dealing with loss, dealing with divorce, trouble sleeping, bedwetting. I mean, you cover everything in this. You know, and it's great. And the other thing that I really want parents to understand is the importance of, you know, trying out the idea of using one of these CDs at nighttime, especially for kids that have trouble sleeping, because it just can create this whole different mood. And let's talk about that, Dr. Resnick, if we have just a few minutes here,
sure,
about how this does help children fall asleep and children that have trouble sleeping.
Because it teaches them how to relax their bodies and to sort of let go. And as they're listening to the story and the music, they are going into a very deep, relaxed state. And often the kids fall asleep before the end of the CD, and it makes such a difference. I think I even put it on my website from a parent who said, who I've been speaking, said, my daughter's been having trouble sleeping forever. We're using your CD, and it was the Magical Garden in their example, and she's been sleeping every night, you know, peacefully ever since. So that
okay, right there. Every parent wants to check that out. Because some kids just don't, you know, some kids just have more trouble.
Right.
So that is just ideal, really, and a way that, plus it creates this little ritual for them to,
exactly,
you know, calm themselves down with everything. And in the last couple minutes here, can you tell us maybe what your best advice for parents to help their kids succeed in life would be?
Trust your intuition. Believe in yourself and your child, and be creative.
And allow your kids to continue to use their imagination,
yes.
I think, too, because that's really what so many problems are solved.
There's a wealth of resources there. As
from
much
our,
as there is outside, I say there's that much more inside.
And I just think it's really important here in supporting that imagination and the stories that kids tell themselves. You shared this in your book. 60%, you said, of third and fourth graders like themselves. By 11th grade, 46% of boys said they liked themselves, and 29% of girls like themselves. I mean, these statistics are dropping, but I truly believe if people use parents and educators work with the tools that you've provided, we can change those statistics.
Thank you. So, I hope so, too.
Yeah. So please check out Dr. Charlotte Resnick's website, which is imageryforkids.com. Get her great newsletter and some great tips on how you can use these incredible tools and supporting your child's imagination. And Dr. Resnick, I want to thank you again for all this great information.
Oh, thank you, Kathy, for your kindness, your generosity, and your wonderful spirit.
Thank you. Thank you. And in closing out, I just want to remind everyone that we will be back next Saturday at 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time with Jennifer McLean. And she is going to share some of her insight and background in working with sound and how that affects us on an energetic level. And as I always say, we can raise our kids on our own, but having a sense of community makes the job more manageable. The idea of these programs is to provide you with a resource and a means to help you become the parent that you want to be. I think all of us intuitively want the best for our children, but hey, let's face it, we don't always have the tools. Kids don't come with booklets, and so please tune in and listen to us when you can. All of these programs are archived for your benefit, and thank you for listening to Holistic Children Radio. I'm your host, Kathy Curran. And I wish you all a great week with your kids and family. Thank you for listening.